The truth is, there are some of us in this room that have had the kind of lives, some of us have had the kind of years, some of us have had the kind of days that we kind of forget that there's any good news anywhere in the world. That's one of the reasons we do the exercise we do at the beginning. In spite of what's going on, in spite of all the bad, horrible, nasty, no good, very bad things that are taking place, there are some good things. And if nothing else, it's this promise, God works all things together for good. He said it, that settles it, right? And sometimes what we've got to do, we've got to learn to do, is begin to look for that. Learn to look for the good that God is working. And even if I don't understand it, even if I can't see it, even if I don't really, really grasp it, I still want to believe it. I still want to hold on to it. That no matter what I'm going through, God is doing something good in my life. When I hear it is written in black and white, there is some good news. I don't know what the day is like for you. I can't stand that stand in front of me. Let me try this. I don't know what kind of day you had, but I know that there's good news in the world. And whether I can accept it or not, and that I understand it or not, the truth is God said there's some good news. Now this good news, look what He says. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. What does He say? This good news is about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now hang on a second. In this room are people who believe, and don't hold up your hand, you don't have to amen or anything to show that you do. I just want to use this for an illustration. There are people sitting in this room that believe that. That believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's a settled issue with them. It's a life conviction. They apply that truth to everything they do in life. They make mistakes still, but they believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. But if you're sitting here and you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're still welcome here. You're still welcome to the pizza. In fact, you already had your pizza. We're not taking it back. I don't want it, all right? But you're welcome here. But the man who wrote this letter believed Jesus was the Son of God, and he writes his gospel, he writes this story, he writes this book to tell people why he believes Jesus is the Son of God. And I think he's trying to encourage them to say, here's why I think you ought to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So let's start there. Whether you believe it, like I do, or not, let's accept this much, that Mark said, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I think that's good news, and I want to tell you why I think it's good news. Look in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Last week we looked at two special moments in the life of Jesus, two unique moments in time, where Jesus showed that He was something more than a man, that He was, I believe, the Son of God. Now the first one was, you tell me so you know I'm not making it up. What was the first one? This is not hard, you're looking at it. Mark chapter 4, verse 34. What was the first one?
The storm.
It was the storm. Jesus calmed a storm. What could men do? Nothing. Did they try? Did they row? Real hard. Did they bail? Real fast. Yeah. They did all of that. Could they stop the storm? No. In fact, it was their fear that caused them to wake up Jesus, and Jesus quieted the storm. I would yell, but Esther just got here. Don't want her to upset her supper. But He said, peace, be still. He said, hush to the world, and the world listened. That frightened the disciples, and they asked the question that really ought to be asked. Who is this? Who is this that even storms obey? And the answer's got to be. It's got to be. Son of God. He's got to be something more than a man. If He can do what no man can do, He must be more than a man. I think that means He must be the Son of God. And Mark and I agree in that matter. Okay? Not just the mark in the Bible, this mark over here. We agree on that. All right? Now, number two. The next miracle, it's takes place in a graveyard. Mark chapter 5, starting verse 1. There's a fellow lives in the graveyard. Do you remember the picture? What does he look like? Strong, muscular zombie. Okay. Strong, muscular, breaks chains, no clothes, scarred, scabbed, bleeding. He runs crying day and night, miserable. He comes running toward Jesus, and the disciples had to scatter, right? Jesus cast the demons out, asked three questions. What can man do with him? Nothing. In fact, look at verse 4. It says they could not tame him. Number 2, what can Jesus do with him? Rescued him. Saved him. Whatever word you want to use, but Jesus made him right. Look at verse 15 again. He's in his right mind. He's sitting down. He's not running anymore. He's clothed. He's not naked anymore. He's in his right mind. He's not possessed anymore. He's not crazy anymore. So if Jesus can do what no man can do, if Jesus can do what no man can do, he must be someone that is more than a man. Now, I think that means, Mark thinks that means, and Mark thinks that means that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, let's tie the knot here before we go to the next story. Mark said that's good news. You tell me. I'll let you do the talking. What's good news about the fact that Jesus can calm storms? What's the good news that Jesus can cast out demons? What's the good news that Jesus can help you when you're afraid? What's the good news when you find out that Jesus can help you when you're miserable? You tell me. What's the good news? This one's not real hard. What's the good news about that? We can take anything to him. Are you afraid? Is your boat about to sink? Have you been rowing hard for a long time? Have you been bailing fast for a long time? And you think your ship is about to sink? You've tried everything. You've tried everything, haven't you? You've talked to your family and they're tired of talking to you. You've tried the psychic hotline and they don't know what you're talking about. You've tried reading self-help books. You've tried talking to counselors. You've tried everything. You need to turn to somebody that can give you some help. There's good news. When nobody else can help you, Jesus can. So what's the good news about this? Anybody else? One more. What's the good news about this? If Jesus could calm those storms, if Jesus could cast out that devil, what's good news for me? I know what the good news was for the fellas. I know what the good news was for the demon fella. But what's the good news for me? He's in control. Because sometimes I'm way out of control and I need somebody in my life that's got some control. Why is it good news? I know I can get through it. Why do I know I can get through it?
He's got more power than me.
He's got more power than me that Jesus can help. And what did you say, Roger? There is hope. And hang on to that, folks. And I won't go into the details of why that's on my mind so much right now. I told you a little bit about it a couple of weeks ago, but I'm still... it weighs still heavy on my heart. I know people. I know a fella. I knew him. Made a decision, the wrong decision. He had no hope, and he figured it was all over. I'm telling you, there is hope. As long as you're living, as long as you're still alive, Jesus is alive, and there is hope. You can find help. The good news is, when nobody else can, Jesus can. When your buddies have stopped listening to you, Jesus can help. When you've tried to take care of it yourself, the truth is, Jesus can help. That's the good news. Now, Jesus leaves the demon fella. All right, they come back across the Sea of Galilee. Look at verse 21. Mark 5, verse 21. When he gets out of the boat with his fellas, with his buddies, what does he see? Do you tell me? Who's waiting on him? There's a large crowd waiting on him. Now, folks, hang on real quick. We read the Bible sometimes, and we read it so black and white, we don't see what's happening here. Why would a large crowd be waiting on Jesus? They want to hear him teach. Maybe he teaches things like they've never heard before. Why is a large crowd waiting on Jesus?
They saw him roll away and they've been waiting for him to come back.
Yeah, they saw him roll away. They've been waiting for him to come back. And I imagine they thought he's probably lost in the storm. But now he's back. But why do they want to see him? All right, they've heard what he does for people. Now, just real quick, let's just run a ripple. As fast as you can, as many as you can, what kind of things had they heard? What kind of things had they seen that he did for people? Get real specific. Get real specific. A blind guy could start to see. So everybody that knew somebody blind was doing what? man, you got to come meet this fella. In fact, they'd be saying, you got to come see this fella, right? What else? I heard a bunch at one time. I heard another one.
Some guys couldn't walk.
So everybody that had a lame buddy, everybody that had a lame member of their family, what would they be doing? They'd be telling everybody, say, listen, you ought to take your son, you ought to take your daughter, you ought to take your mother, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, cousin, and your neighbor. You ought to take them to Jesus. Get them there however you can. Jesus will make them walk. I heard one more. Give me another one. I'm sorry? If you had a family member who was possessed by a demon, now, there's no need to discuss whether it can happen like this now or not. That's another discussion. But I've known some children that I thought might still have that. But that's another story, and I can't mention their names. But if you had a child that you believed was possessed by a demon, what would you do? What would you do if you'd heard that Jesus could cast out demons? You would get that child to Jesus, or you'd get Jesus to that child. You would not care what happened. So now tell me what happens then. When the moment Jesus steps out of that boat, here's this crap. Now, real quick, did you ever wonder? No, we don't wonder because we just read it in the Bible. And in the Bible it says, and a large crowd was waiting on Jesus. Welcome. Right? How'd they find out? Jesus has been on the other side of the lake. How did they find out He was coming? There was no texting. There were no twits. I mean, Twitter back then. They were watching for Him. When He left, they were waiting on Him. And when He came back, they were still waiting on Him. So when He comes out of the boat, what are they doing? They're wanting to get close to Him, right? The ones that are sick want to touch Him. The ones that have sick family members want to get His attention. The ones that want an autograph because they believe if you hang on to a famous autograph for a long time, you get rich. They're wanting autographs, right? They want a piece of His clothing, a piece of His time, whatever. Can you imagine what that signature would do for you? Man, that would be good. They were waiting on Jesus for some good news in their lives. All of those people you mentioned, blind folks, lame folks, sick folks, dead folks, boy, their families and friends were waiting for some good news, and they saw it when Jesus came off that boat. And there's a fella standing there in that group that's one of them. What's his name? Now, you don't have to say it, because I'm afraid for you to say it, because you may say it in a way that I've not heard it pronounced, and that means I don't want to embarrass you, so then I'd have to say it the same way all the time. Let's call him Jerry, okay? Let's call him Jerry to make it real simple on all of us. His name, pronounced the way my Bible class teacher taught me, was Jairus. Then I went to a college where the fella knew Greek. Now, I don't know if he knew a tall Greek or a short Greek at Ranadeli. I don't know. But he said you pronounce it Jairus. Okay? Let's call him Jerry to simplify things, all right? A man named Jerry wants to see Jesus. What's Jerry's job? You tell me. It's in the text. What's Jerry's job? He's the ruler of a synagogue. That means he is a big wheel for everybody standing around. This is the guy in charge of their church. And he's very important. Now he's standing here with all these other people waiting for some good news to get out of that boat. Because he's got a problem just like the rest of them. But now what do you... We're not going to ascribe things to him. I just want your imagination to be tweaked. What might he be thinking standing there in that boat? With all that bunch while he waits for Jesus to get out of the boat. He's the ruler of the synagogue, and what are they? What are they? They're just the commoners. They're just the folks that come to church. They're not the ruler of the synagogue. So what does he think he should get? Some preferential treatment. I don't know. It doesn't say that, but he gets Jesus' attention. So I'm not for sure. Maybe the other people thought the same thing. But Jerry comes up to Jesus and he has a problem. What's his problem? his little girl is sick, and he wants Jesus to come. He couldn't get his little girl to him, so he wants Jesus to come to him. So here's this crowd, and they're all standing around. They're all excited. They're all excited. They want Jesus to come to their house, or they want Jesus to touch them and heal them. They want Jesus to come help their friend. And Jerry says, "Jesus, you got to come with me." And I love Jesus. I love Jesus. You think he's got to be some kind of tired? He just had to fight a bunch of demons, and now he had to row back all the way over here, and now he gets out of the boat, and there's this crowd waiting on him, and this very important man says, "I need you to come see my daughter." What does Jesus say? What does Jesus do? He goes with him. Don't you love that about Jesus? I hear us sometimes talk about, "Well, I just don't know that the Lord would want..." Are you kidding me? He lived his life. He gave his life so that you and I could have this good news. So he says, "Will you come with me? Will you come with me and see my daughter?" Jesus turns and says, "Okay." Now look what the crowd does. I think it's verse 24. What does the crowd do? What does the crowd do? Now they followed him, but it says something else. They pressed into... Okay, now hang on. Now we get the real picture. What's taking place in this crowd? We've seen this. We have seen this. Where have we seen this on TV?
On Black Friday.
Yeah. If I had to go to the mall, it would be Black Friday. Tell me, where have we seen this? Celebrities. A rock star finishes a concert. He's walking out to the crowd. What are they doing? Want to touch him, want his autograph, want his guitar pick, whatever, right? It doesn't matter if it's a sports star, political star, rock star, movie star. When they start through a crowd, everybody wants to touch. Everybody wants an autograph. Everybody wants their attention, right? This is superstar. Jesus is trying to walk to Jerry's house, and they won't let him. They're pressing against it. Now, hang on a second. What's Jerry doing? All right, only dads can answer.
Hurry up, let's go.
My little girl's sick. Come on, we don't have time to wait for these commoners. We gotta get there. Come on, my wife's waiting on me. I mean, we gotta get Jesus to hurry. What's the crowd doing? They're doing what all of us do. Our deals are more important than anybody else's deals. So hold it. Before you go, can I ask you this? Before you go, can I touch you this way? Before you go, can I have you do this for me? Just this one little thing. You know, I love it when somebody says, "Hey man, I just got a quick question for you." I say, "Okay." What's the meaning of heaven and hell? Well, that was a quick question. The answer is not going to be so good, but I love this. My best answer is, "Read the Bible, see you later." All right, now. That's mean. I wouldn't do that. They're pressing in on Jesus. They're trying to touch him. They're trying to get his autograph. They're trying to get him to do some special favor for them. Jerry is trying to hurry him up. There's a lady in the crowd you need to meet. It doesn't tell us her name. It just tells us her problem. It tells us why she needs some good news from Jesus. What's wrong with her? Look in the text. It says she's bleeding. And how long has she been bleeding? She's been bleeding 12 years. Now hang on a second. How does she look? She's got to be very pale, right? How does she look? Very weak, very frail. She is not robust. She's not healthy. Why didn't she go to the doctor? Look in the text.
She's been treated for 12 years.
She went to the doctor, went to doctors, and she didn't get any better. She got worse. And she had spent all of her money. That sound familiar? Spent all of her money and didn't get better. In fact, she got worse. Now, she's also considered by all of those folks unclean because she's been bleeding. Oh, man. Now, hang on, guys. Can you see the picture? This crowd is pressing around Jesus. Jerry is trying to hurry him up. And this little frail, weak, fragile woman touches the hem of Jesus' garment. Never thought of it. Never thought. It took me years for it finally to dawn on me to ask the question, how does she get through the crowd? If she touched the hem of his garment, where did she have to be? On the ground. And the only way she could have gotten through that crowd is on the ground. I don't know. It doesn't say. I want to see it like it really happened. This woman is so desperate, she doesn't care what anybody thinks about her. She doesn't care what anybody says to her. She is going to get to Jesus because she knows in Jesus that's where her good news is. And so she's crawling toward Jesus. She crawls toward Him, reaches out, believes that if she could just touch the hem of His garment, she'd be made whole. And she reaches and touches and zoop! Immediately, I don't know if there was any sound effects, but immediately she was made whole. Now Jesus stops. Watch it. Look, watch it. He stops and says, who touched me? Are you kidding me? That's what Simon says. Are you kidding me? Everybody's touching you. So do you see what we're not making this stuff up. What was the crowd really doing? They were trying to get his attention. They were trying to get some good news from him. They were trying to get some power, some favor, some word from him. So they were pressed around him. Jerry is dragging him along. And this little lady says, if I could just touch him, I'd be made well. And she touched him and she was made well. Jesus stopped, said, who touched me? She comes, fesses up. She said, it's me. I did it. I love how Jesus treats her. He says, go in peace. Your faith made you whole. What can man do with her? What could man do with her? Did they try? Yes. She didn't get better, she got worse. Guys, I got to tell you, it just dawned on me. We said it a minute ago. Sometimes you talk to your friends and your friends get tired of talking to you. Honest. Have your friends ever really been that helpful? Now, they may agree with you, or they may make you feel better about your bad decision. But do friends really? Oh, that's another issue. We'll talk about it another time. But this woman had tried everything she could try and wasn't better. So what could Jesus do? He healed her. Here's the third question. You ask me. Ask me the third question. I told you to ask it. Every time it comes up, every time Jesus does something special, you ought to ask it. What's the third question? Who is this? Who is this that even diseases obey? What's the answer got to be? It's got to be the Son of God. Because if Jesus can do what a man can't do, if Jesus can do more than any man can do, He must be something more than a man. He must be someone more than man. He must be the Son of God. I agree. Mark agrees, and so does Mark. Jesus is the Son of God. But where's the good news? Tell me the good news for the woman. She was healed.
Just her faith.
Tell me the good news for the woman.
Her sins are forgiven.
Her sins are forgiven. Tell me the good news for this woman. Her suffering's over. Tell me the good news for this woman.
She saw Jesus.
She saw Jesus. Tell me the good news for this woman.
She can live again.
She can live again. Tell me the good news for this woman.
She's got peace.
She's got peace. Tell me the good news for this woman. She believed and she got some good news. What good news? She's no longer unclean. She no longer is dying. She's living. There's all kinds of... All of those are good things you said. That's exactly right. Is there good news where Jesus is? Here's the question. Have you ever been so desperate that you'd do anything to get some peace? Have you ever been so desperate that you would do anything to get some peace? That's where this woman was. She was so desperate, she didn't care what anybody said about her, what anybody said to her. She didn't care what she had to do. She was going to get a piece of that good news. Now hang on. I talk to folks all the time. I talk to them all the time and I'll ask, what do you want? And the ones that can finally they can articulate what they want, they can say, I want this. Let's use her word. I want some peace in my life. And I'll say, well, what are you willing to do to get that peace? And they'll tell me in their desperate moment, they'll say, man, I'd do anything to get some peace. And then I start to show them some things that they should do to get some peace. And you know what the answer is? But not that. I'll do anything, but not that. Why not? And honest, come from your own life. Tell me some of the reasons we won't do whatever we got to do to get peace.
Hard.
It's inconvenient. It's hard. Why don't we do that?
Selfishness.
We don't, and I'm going to put ambition with it. We don't want to look like we're that desperate. I want help, but I don't want to admit that I need help. Talked to somebody not long ago, has a drinking problem, has a drug problem, wants to stop. What would you do to stop and get control of that addiction? I'd do anything. I said, here's what you need to do. I'm just telling you one thing I told him. I said, find an AA meeting. Just go to an AA meeting. At least you'll be around some people. And his response was, ooh, I'm not that bad. In fact, the comment was made, I have all of my teeth. Guess what? He didn't want peace. He didn't want power over that addiction. If you've got that much pride left, if you've got that many teeth left, guess what? You may not be serious. This woman didn't have any of those concerns. Man, she was so desperate, she didn't care what was said to her or about her. She did whatever she had to do to get peace. You know some good news in your life? You can find it in Jesus. Because if Jesus can help people that are afraid, if Jesus can help people that are miserable, if Jesus can help people that are desperate, can He help you? Can He help you? He helped me and still does. Now, see, we're sitting there talking about it and y'all forgot all about Him. Y'all forgot all of it. Y'all got to looking at this woman and talking about this woman and thinking about this woman and describing this woman. And you forgot. Where are we going?
Jerry's.
You're going to Jerry's house. And you think Jerry forgot?
Nope.
You think Jerry cares? Now, I'm not trying to be mean to Jerry, but you think he cares a lick about this old lady?
No.
He's got a 12-year-old daughter that is dying and he's got to get to her. And these people are getting in his way, and that woman stopped him, and Jesus had to have a conversation with her. What's wrong? Can you hear him? Can you feel? And if you were the daddy, how would you be feeling?
We
don't have time for this. I'm telling you now, we got to hurry. In fact, she's an old lady. She's had her life. Let her go ahead and die. I got to get to my little girl. And we're not making this stuff up, folks. Because as soon as Jesus finishes speaking to the woman, somebody from the house, from Jerry's house, comes to him and says, Master, what'd she say? What'd they say? Your little girl's dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. This little girl's dead. Dads only. How's he feel? In that moment, how's he feel? Crushed. How's he feel? In that moment, only dads. How's he feel?
Lost.
That moment, how's he feel? Let down.
I got to Jesus sooner.
Boy, I mean, it is in all of us, mamas and daddies, but there's in all of us that guilt gland that kicks in. Man, if I'd have walked faster, if I'd have got to him earlier, if I'd have just hurried him up, if I'd have pushed more people out of the way. But then you've been all very, and you've said right, you've been accurate because you've talked about your own feelings. There's one emotion we haven't mentioned that would come up. It'll come up with any man who faces the loss of a child when somebody else interrupted.
Anger.
Man. You think he's angry? I got to believe he is. But Jesus looks at him and says, don't be afraid. Time out. Anytime you hear that phrase, don't be afraid, means what? Somebody was afraid. What's Jerry really thinking? What's Jerry really thinking? Boy, it's too late. He's afraid. He's afraid it's too late. He's afraid there's nothing he can do now. And Jesus says to him, listen, don't be afraid. You just believe. And Jesus stops the crowd. Y'all stay here. He takes Peter, James, and John, three of his 12 buddies, and they go into the house. I keep reading. When they go into the house, the funeralizing has already started. Okay? Now, look what the people are doing. What are they doing?
Wailing.
They're wailing. Okay, now do we know what wailing is? That's not Moby Dick kind of stuff. That's not wailing. It's wailing. What are they doing? No, what are they doing? Woo! You don't have to know this. It's not anything theologically significant, but it'll make sense in a minute. What they did was they paid people to come in and make wailing noises as if they were crying, completely overwhelmed by grief, so that it would release the emotions of the family, because they knew that we got to let this out. It would help get rid of the grieving. Well, now hang on a second. That doesn't fit our culture, does it? In our culture, what would have been happening at this point in the funeralizing? Who would have been there? Hey, and if you know who would have been there. Who would have been there first? The women from the church, and they'd have casseroles. I'm telling you, they'd be bringing food. Right? That's exactly what would have happened in our culture. In their culture, what they do? They maybe brought the casseroles and then started the wailing. Now, Jesus walks in. Now, folks, where's Jesus been? Where's Jesus been the last 24, 48, 72 hours? He's been on a boat that almost sank. He's been in a graveyard fighting the devil, hanging out with pigs. Well, not for long. And then they came back across. A crowd meets them. Come to my house, Jerry says. Jesus is starting to follow. Jesus walks in. How does he look? He got to look exhausted. How does he look?
Dirty.
How does he look?
He's rough.
If he has long hair, now those pictures you've seen, you think, well, Jesus always had long hair. Yeah, that picture you're looking at also always has this light behind his head. Jesus didn't glow in the dark. One time, and I'll tell you about that later, but he didn't glow in the dark. So, because you could have always found him. You wouldn't have needed anything, you know. Oh, there's a guy with a glowy head. Nah, that wasn't him. Jesus walks in. If he's got long hair, it's looking rough. He's looking tired. He's looking dirty. He walks in, and his three buddies with him, they're looking worse for wear because they didn't know that everything was going to work out all right, right? And they walk in, and these people, woo, woo, they're wailing. And look what Jesus says. This sounds so blunt. We need to talk sometime about the blunt side of Jesus. What are you crying for? She's not dead. She's just asleep. Now maybe he said it. Why are you crying? She's not dead. She's just... For those of you who are social workers, I'll say it that way. Okay, now. That's mean. I'm a social worker. I'm making fun of us, not anybody else. Okay? Now counselors would say, stop. Do not get me started on this. Okay, now. You know what preachers would say? Why doth thou now waileth? And that's all. That's stopped. Why are you crying? She's not dead. She's just asleep. Now look. I want you to look and tell me what they did. What was their reaction to his question? Now my old Bible, the real Bible, not this thing y'all read, but my real Bible says they laughed him to scorn. What does that mean? They were making fun of him. How deep was their grief? Now, these guys were getting paid to cry, and when they had a chance to do something besides cry, they let her rip. And they were making fun of Jesus. What do you know? Is this little girl dead, by the way? Is she really dead? She's dead. Yeah, she is graveyard dead, folks. And what does Jesus... Why did Jesus say she was asleep? Why did Jesus say she was asleep?
Because the hymn
Death was just asleep to him. And does he know what's about to happen? Yeah. Now watch this. Jesus walks in, three fellows with him. These people crying. He says, "Why are you crying?" They start laughing. He goes back into the room with Mr. Jerry and Mrs. Jerry. Now, I got to tell you, my brain works this way. No apologies, it's just an explanation. My brain works. Where's Miss Jerry been since that little girl got sick? Mamas only can answer. When this little girl got so sick, they thought she was dying, where his mom spent every moment possible. Like, you think she's been bathing that baby's forehead? You think she's been trying to feed her some chicken broth? You think she's been? They've been trying to keep her cool or warm? Or you think? And you think she finally? Who do you think finally got Jerry to go find Jesus? You know that's right. What's Jerry doing? He's sitting in his lazy boy recliner watching the ball game, and you got to go get somebody for my baby. And so Jerry gets up to go find Jesus. Where's Mama been ever since? And I bet she doesn't leave the room even to look down the road. She probably sends a servant to the gate, said, "Look down the road. You come tell me as soon as you see him coming." And then she'll send another one. Go find out why that other one hadn't come back in here. And when the little girl died, what did she do? She sent a servant to go tell him, "Forget it. It won't help. It's over. It's done." How does she feel? Mama's only. How does she feel?
It's his fault.
It's his fault. How does she feel?
Heartbroken.
Heartbroken. And I agree. I think she... You know enough women, you know. Some of them are going to get mad about that. How does she feel? Heartbroken. Lost.
Anguished.
Empty. Anguished.
Why
didn't I end in there? Is that guilt gland kick in again? Why couldn't I get them to do?
That's why Jericho was afraid. Another reason.
That might have been. He's afraid to meet his wife. Yeah. Jesus walks in. I wish you could see it like I can see it in my head. Jesus walks in. He's been... Cowboys would say he'd been rode hard and put up wet. He is worn out. He is rough. He smells of the sea and of the road. And those three guys with him do not know what they're doing in here. And Jesus walks over to that little girl, takes her by the hand. Can you see the mama's reaction? Can you see the mama's reaction when this stranger touches her baby? Reaches and takes her by the hand and says, "Honey, get up. Honey, get up. Wake up, honey." As if he's waking her from a nap. And slowly, ever so slowly, very, just almost without notice, her skin begins to warm. Her color begins to change. Her eye... Really? You guys would let me do that? Look in there and tell me what happened.
She got up.
That's none of this warming up stuff. Her color came back. Her eyes began to flutter. No, y'all were buying that business, man. Read your Bible. The Bible says she got up. Point. Now, folks, would you love to have been there? I would have loved to watch the three fellas with Jesus. Right? Did you see that? Did you see? This little girl sits up. How old is she?
12.
And does Jesus know little kids?
Yeah.
He says, "Well, any kid 12 year old is hungry. It don't matter when you die or not. You're hungry." She said, "Go get her something to eat." Now what I want you to watch though is mom and dad's reaction. Tell me what you think. Well, look what it says. Tell me what the Bible says first, and then I want you to see it. They were astonished. They were amazed. It was incredible. Nothing like, they'd never seen anything like this. They couldn't believe this has happened. All of a sudden, all of that grief, all of that anger, all of that fear was turned around and turned into an exclamation point of, "Yahoo! I mean, she's alive. Isn't this amazing? Isn't this great?" What does the mom do? Honest. Moms only. What did the mom do immediately? Started kissing and hugging that baby, and then she threatened to spank her. "I'll spank you. If you die on me again, I'll spank you." That's right. You don't tell me you wouldn't. I know mamas. What would the dad do? Guys only. Guys only. What would the dad do? I bet you know, man, I bet he was shaking Jesus. You're the best healer I've ever seen, you know. You're the best friend I ever had. This is wonderful. I bet he's, if they will hug Bob Barker for a refrigerator, what do you think they'd do for Jesus, right? They're hugging and kissing and, oh, this is the greatest thing. You're the best in the world. You're the best. We love you. You're the Son of God, I bet. What's the question? What can man do? They can cry. They can bring the casserole. What can Jesus do? Raise the dead. Tell me, who is it? Who is this that even dead people obey? If Jesus can do what no man can do, if Jesus can do more than any man can do, He must be someone more than a man. I think He's the Son of God. I believe He's the Son of God. And so does Mark. That one and this one. So where's the good news? I know the good news for them. That's obvious. They got the little girl back. But what's the good news for us? This was said, this is good news for us. There's good news for us. Jesus can calm storms. Jesus can cast out demons. Jesus can cure diseases. And Jesus can raise the dead. Where's the good news for me in this? He can do the same for us. What's the good news for us?
Our lives don't end in death.
Our lives don't end when we die. Because there will be a day. We've read the verse, but there'll be a day, it says. In another gospel, another red letters, in John chapter 5, Jesus will call and the dead will be raised. But what's the good news for me? Right now, in this moment, what's the good news for me?
He can bring me back to life.
He can bring me back to life. I heard. I heard somebody say it this way, and I've loved the way it says. He's the answer to every question and the solution to every problem. Good news is, it's in layers, right? It's in layers. So let's take one of the first levels of good news. Anybody in this room, you don't have to hold up your hand. You can in this place because we'll talk about it. We'll admit it. But anybody in this place ever felt like you just were dead? You just felt like your life was over? You just felt like there was no hope left? That you had no joy? There was nothing for you? You got up and you went to work? You ate just because you had the habit of eating? But you were dead? Folks, if Jesus can raise dead, that kind of dead, can He raise this kind of dead? Yeah. Another good news, different level. Bible teaches that when you sin, you die. Remember the verse? The wages of sin is death. So when you sin, you deserve to die. So has anybody in here ever sinned? Anybody in here ever died toward God? The good news is, if Jesus could raise that one from the dead, He can raise this one from the dead. He can forgive your sins. He can raise you from the dead and give you a brand new life. It's true. He can. I can show you where the Bible says that. Boy, if you want one, if you've got interest in having a new life and a chance to start all over again, do not get out of this room until you holler at me and say, listen, could you show me that? And I'll show it to you tonight. We won't wait. Now, I want to talk to you later, but I'll show it to you tonight. But there is another level of good news, and it's what you hit on first. Our lives do not end in death. There is a life that is to come. And those of us who listen to Jesus, He will call us to eternal life. A life, this little girl's life, the life she got from Jesus, the life she got back from Jesus, will last just for her lifetime. We never hear anything else about her. I'd love to hear the story. I'd love to hear what she taught her grandchildren. I'd love to hear. what she shared with her neighbors. These people write all these stories about, you know, I was in the hospital and I had this outer body experience and I saw this bright light. I love those kind of stories, and I love to hear people take different positions on those kinds of stories. But wouldn't you love to have heard hers? I don't know what her story was, but I know this is true. That when I die, I will not be dead all over just like Rover. I will have life. And Jesus will call and we will be raised from the dead. I know that's true. Because He can do what no man can do. He can do what more than any man can do. He must be the Son of God. So the good news for us is, when nobody else can help you, Jesus can. Take all four of them together. When you're afraid, miserable, desperate, dead, and nobody else can help you, the good news is, Jesus can. When nobody else can help, Jesus can help. Do you know anybody in your life? And there's people in this room right now that are this way, but I'm talking about, do you know anybody in your home? You know anybody at work? You know anybody at school that's afraid? Do you know anybody that's miserable? Know anybody that's desperate? If you're the friend that you claim to be, if you're the friend that you want to be, wouldn't you want them to know that there's some good news? I'm not talking about church attendance. I'm talking about, let's introduce them to Jesus. Now, there's lots of ways to do that. But it seemed to me like one of the best ways to do that would be, come eat supper. You're welcome. Eat all you want. Stay as long as you like. You can come, and we're going to talk about Jesus next week, if God gives us next week. So wouldn't it make sense that if those tired and afraid and desperate and miserable people, wouldn't it make sense that a friend would invite them to come? Let's introduce them to Jesus. Let's talk to them about Jesus. And if you can't get them here, let's me and you go talk to them there. Okay? You don't have to do it. I'll do it. Just tell them. There's this old man. I'd love for you. I don't know how long he'll be around. He might be dead soon. So you need to talk to him quick. Whatever, man. I've been jumping for glory for a while and it still hasn't happened. But I'm keep trying. Let's give them a chance to learn some good news about Jesus. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thanks for tonight. Thank you for these folks. More than anything, God, thank you for Jesus and the good news. Thank you for what He's done for me. Thank you for what He's done for us. And please, God, would you help us have the heart to invite somebody to come hear something about Jesus and hear something about that good news. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you, Rick.
We have ladies' class starting on Saturday at 10:30.